The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections, where every month we'll introduce you to people in the community that are making a difference. We'll also take time out to spotlight one of our volunteers.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy,
located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-916-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Limp in
and leap out.
Today we have some very special guests in-house from the PACE Center. Tony Hively, Executive Director of PACE, and Christine Bellino, the Marketing and Enrollment Director. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm so glad to have you guys here with us to talk to us a little bit about PACE and the organization. And PACE is located in Durham, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about PACE and what it does for our seniors.
Sure. PACE is the Program for All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. It is a national program, and we happen to be in Durham, and we cover Durham and Wake Counties.
Okay.
And we provide the all-inclusive care for seniors, 55 and above. And basically, our mission is that people with limited resources, they have the opportunity to age in place in their home with our supports. Mm-hmm. These are folks that otherwise may be in a nursing home because they are nursing home eligible. But we provide the primary care, the home care, and the other related services like rehab and adult day services to make that possible.
That's wonderful. I did not know about you guys until I went to a health fair. They were going around and it was introducing everyone for different things. And I was like, this is so interesting. We need to have them on because we have a lot of seniors who want to stay in their home, but their family and everybody else don't know exactly what to do. So in that kind of a process, and you, how does a person go about finding out about your information?
Sure. They can give us a call and I can give you the number that you can post, and I'll read it now. It's 919-425-3000, and you just ask for enrollment, and we'll do an initial screening. I will say the application process takes between 30 and 60 days to enroll, usually.
Okay.
It is quicker for people who have Medicaid and Medicare, who are dually eligible for both. It is a little bit quicker for those folks to enroll in the process, but we help people step by step through the entire process. So there's an initial interview, which usually takes about 15 minutes to an hour on the phone. And then there's an intake, which occurs at the potential participant's home. And that usually lasts anywhere between 1 and 3 hours. And then we do an assessment. And that is where the potential participant and or his or her caregiver come into the center. They get a tour and they're met with by all of our interdisciplinary folks. So doctor, social worker, recreation therapist, physical therapist, a nurse. They'll meet with a social worker. They can even meet with the chaplain if they want. So it's a very inclusive picture, a total picture of that person, what they're looking for, what their goals of enrollment are, whether they want to get more socialization, whether they want some medication management and things like that. We try to paint a really thorough picture of that participant prior to enrolling. Mm-hmm. Then the team goes back. They talk about their findings. They talk about their assessment. We discuss what the family is looking for and what that potential participant is looking for to increase the quality of their life. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, everyone's desires are met, then we enroll the person. And so it takes between 30 and 60 days to enroll, and we do try to help as much as possible step-by-step through the whole process.
You said the process takes between 30 and 60 days. Why is the process that long? It's so intensive.
That's a good question. There's an application period. There's the intake. The intake and the assessment. The assessment itself takes about a day, and then the team has to meet to discuss the findings of the assessment. So between the referral and the interview and the initial assessment, that whole process could take about a week and a half. And then the state has to approve the team's findings. So everyone who's eligible for our program meets a nursing home level of care. So the state has to say, yes, indeed, this person does meet a nursing home level of care and is eligible on that grounds. And then we have to also certify that that person is still safe to live in the community with our services. So we fill out what's called a health and safety, and that is after a home visit is made, and the state has to certify that as well.
Okay.
So that process takes between 30 and 60 days, and then there's also, you know, if folks are applying for Medicaid, they also have to go through that process, and we include that in the process. So that being said, we've had some folks who've come in as little as 14 days, mm-hmm. And we've had others who've been in the process for a little bit longer.
Okay. And you said the process is quicker if they have Medicare or Medicaid.
If they have both, it's much quicker.
Okay. And why is that?
Because that's one part of the process that's already taken care of.
Oh, it's eliminated. Okay. Mm-hmm. You guys have so many people that come in and it involves. You do say it's inclusive, but that's really inclusive. I mean, having all of that in one place, that could be a lot for one person or even a family to cipher through. How did we do that?
Well, to be a PACE program, you do provide all the care because we're not only the provider of services, we're also the health plan. So we need to have primary care physicians and nurse practitioners to manage their care. So when someone comes into the program, they have to agree to that part. And then we have an adult day center. We're a licensed adult day center where folks can come to the center and they get meals and activities and get their physical therapy, whatever they need. They can be seen in the clinic. And then we do provide home health and by nurse or home care by aides that will take care of the personal care. So not everything's happening in the center.
Okay.
A lot of it is happening in the home. Okay. But when a person comes into our program, they have to agree to accept the services through our providers or through our network of contracted providers. We contract with certain hospital systems, physicians, if we need specialists, mm-hmm. and dialysis, nursing homes, as they might need some short-term rehab in a nursing home. So we have a lot of people helping to provide the services. But I think what the family benefits from the PACE program is that we coordinate that care, mm-hmm. and we also become an advocate for their loved one. So that really helps them work through the process. And if they're in the hospital, okay, so what do you need to have a safe discharge from the hospital so you're not turning around and going right back to the hospital?
So you were saying that you were telling me a little bit more, too, about the qualifications for PACE. And you do have to be 55 or older, right? What about people who have some type of disability? How does that affect the PACE program?
It really doesn't. People who have disabilities, we have many folks who have disabilities,
okay.
of different levels. Of course, right now we're seeing not so much disability, we're seeing dementia on the
yes.
rise. So I would say nationally the statistical average is 47% of PACE participants have some form of dementia. I think locally it's probably a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
We're seeing in various levels, some who have very mild dementia and some who have advanced dementia.
Okay.
So that is really more of what we're seeing. We do have some folks with developmental disabilities. Disabilities are really not, we take them into consideration in terms of treatment for the person, but we don't exclude anyone because of any condition that, you know, that
right.
may have caused them an issue in another setting.
Right. Because most of our participants and people that listen to us are blind or visually
right.
impaired. And so I'm sure that one of the questions would be, if I'm blind and I can't read very well, how does the process help me? Do they have people who work with people who are blind, Braille, and have things like that.
So our recreation therapy department does an amazing job with that, and we also have a lot of folks who subscribe to books on tape,
mm-hmm.
and we have a little center where they can sit and listen to books on tape or any of those sorts of things in the center, in the day room when they're there.
Okay.
Right. Many of our participants presently are visually impaired to a certain extent,
okay.
so we do that. And we have different people that have trouble with reading for many reasons. It could be they have a limited education,
mm-hmm.
and so we will assist with that. But it also can be, we have people that where English is not their native language.
Absolutely.
And then we also make sure all our materials would be supplied to them. Like if it's Spanish,
mm-hmm.
we make sure they are Spanish. We can provide an interpreter. If someone's a deaf, we have a deaf interpreter for them.
Mm-hmm.
We also would do the same thing if someone were blind and needed Braille or any other assistance. If they have a service dog, the service dog would be allowed to enter the building. So we're very accommodating to people with many disabilities.
Okay. And what about transportation? I know with people that are older people, seniors, it's sometimes hard for them to get around. So do you guys offer transportation
right.
for that?
Yes, we do. We provide transportation not only to and from the center when they come to the adult day center, where they come to see our physicians or come to our physical therapy, but also if they have an appointment, a medical appointment in the community, we pick them up and take them to that appointment. We also, if they receive dialysis 3 times a week, we take them to and from, even if it's a weekend. Some people receive dialysis on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. Mm-hmm. We also make transportation available for people being discharged from the hospital or transitioning to a different setting. Maybe they had to go to the hospital, to the skilled nursing facility, and they needed to return home. So we provide transportation in all those settings.
Mm-hmm. Now, also while I was talking to you, this thought came to my mind. You have the different doctors and everyone comes in together to work with the family and the person. Now, do you guys offer referrals for different doctors and stuff, or do they come in with their own doctors and stuff? Do you guys, or do you offer referrals to different doctors that you work with different things, different facilities, different hospitals as far as that? Do you get referrals for that kind of thing?
We have a network of providers, so when someone's interested in our program, mm-hmm. they can get a provider list.
Okay.
And so if someone needs to see a cardiologist, we'll have a couple different cardiologists that they can see.
Okay.
And then we will make the referral, we'll set it up, mm-hmm. and then we also will set up the transportation at that time too.
Awesome. Now also I was thinking about if you don't qualify for Medicaid enrollment or that type of thing, but you're still interested in PACE, are you still able to get around that to be a part of the program?
Absolutely. There are different tiers of payments. If somebody's going to come in completely private pay, mm-hmm. it would be about $4,300 a month plus for them to participate. But I think we have right now only one person, maybe two, who are doing that. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the cost of a nursing home, that's a bargain. So right. if you look at $4,300 a month, that's a bargain. For other folks, $43 a month might be prohibitive for them. So we would encourage those folks to try to get on Medicare or Medicaid
yes.
if they don't have it already.
Mm-hmm.
If they have Medicare only, there's a separate fee. But most of our folks have Medicare and Medicaid. And when they have that, Medicaid allows up to $1,012 a month prior to them charging what they call a personal monthly liability or PML. It's kind of like a copay.
Yes.
So right now the copay is income limit is $1,012 a month.
Okay.
So just for argument's sake, if someone made $1,022 a month, mm-hmm. their copay would be $10 a month to participate in PACE. But if they have nothing Medicare or Medicaid wise, mm-hmm. they would pay $43.32 and change a month.
Okay.
And then we do have participants that are Medicaid only. Maybe
okay.
they didn't work long enough or mm-hmm. have the hours needed to get Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also be Medicaid only mm-hmm. to be in our program.
Okay.
And once in the other scenarios that once you, even if you have a PML, once you're in our program, there are no copays, meaning
okay.
if you go to a physician, you're not charged that copay. We pay the bills for everything else, including your medications.
Okay.
So in the agreement, not only will, you know, hospitalizations, medications, physical therapy, all that's included in being a member in the program.
Okay.
And so that's really important because sometimes seniors that have limited incomes have to make decisions about
yes.
whether or not to get their prescription renewed.
Yes.
You've heard of situations where they might take their medication every other day, or when they reach their donut hole in the fall, they may not get the medications for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Well, in the PACE program, they would consistently get their medications because they're not paying that copay.
Oh, that is amazing. That is amazing. And I think that's very important because that is a big issue right,
right.
now. And so being a part of a program like this would help a person out very much so, especially if they're low income and they don't have help.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
And it's something we spend a great deal of time when we're doing that first initial interview with somebody in the home,
mm-hmm.
the intake. We'll spend a great deal of time talking to them about their financial situation. And I always tell them, worst case scenario, we're going to ask you very personal, financial, and health-related questions because we're trying to paint that perfect picture of you.
Mm-hmm.
and decide whether or not this program is right for you. Because we have had situations where, you know, someone might have a $500 PML, but they really don't need that many services, mm-hmm. and for them it wouldn't be worth it. And we're very honest with them mm-hmm. in the beginning of the process to make certain that this is going to be a good fit, because mm-hmm. we don't want someone to get into the program and then say, you know, I'm spending money to be a part of this and I don't really need these services. So we try to take care of that. And one of the questions that you asked earlier, why does that process take so long?
Yes.
During that week and a half, that's what we're trying to determine.
Okay.
Is this a good fit for this person?
Okay.
So our particular program is run by Volunteers of America. So our mission is to keep folks in the home as long as they can possibly stay in the home, mm-hmm. but it's also to help folks. So just because someone comes to us and is not able to be a participant in a PACE program, we'll help them to try to find a resource that can help them as well.
Okay.
So we do spend some time on that.
And with this program, is it lifelong for senior?
Yes. Seniors, anyone that enters the program, they have the right to disenroll at any time. So if they would get in the program and think, this is not for me, they do have the right to disenroll. However, the PACE program goes into it as, this is a commitment till they die.
Okay.
You know, once they come into the program, we want to work with them and see them through all the stages of their illnesses or their levels of function.
Mm-hmm.
So there's never a time that we're going to say, oh, you're too sick, we don't want you in our program now.
Mm-hmm.
We're very committed to that,
mm-hmm.
and that's why, again, up front, we want them to make sure this is the program they want. Because
mm-hmm.
we see it as being a commitment from the time they entered till their death.
Okay. That was what I was interested in finding out, because you have a lot of people, like we're talking about dementia and Alzheimer's, and those kind of diseases takes a real bad turn for the worse. So in that kind of a case, when it does that and they're trying to still be home, in a situation like that, when it's no longer prevalent, would you guys step in to help them be transitioned into another place?
We do. We have an amazing end-of-life program, insofar as an end-of-life program can be called amazing.
Yes.
We really work with the families, and we have a social work team. They have caregiver support groups. They address these things. We are very honest with families. We'll have those conversations either at the family's request, or we'll prompt the family when we think that there's a change. So we're seeing the participants all of the time.
Okay.
And so we have a good gauge on, you know, where they are. Obviously, you can't predict in all cases.
Right.
But we have a good sense of where they are. The team mm-hmm. really works very diligently on each individual case.
Mm-hmm.
They discuss each individual case. It's one of the beauties of our program is
yes.
that, you know, our team is focused on a few hundred folks that they discuss and they get to know very well.
Mm-hmm.
So when it is that time, they'll put them on the radar for the end-of-life program
mm-hmm.
and begin to have those conversations with family members, not to completely ease the burden necessarily of end-of-life, but to make that transition a smoother one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in the PACE program, how many participants do you think that you have in the Durham-Raleigh area?
We have approximately 196 right now.
Okay.
So, and they're pretty much half and half Durham, Lake County.
Okay.
And but we're always, again, increasing our efforts to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Our number one referral source is really through word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's people that have been in the program,
mm-hmm.
or it's staff that knows someone that needs the program,
mm-hmm.
or family members that have their loved one in the program tell someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we're always looking for opportunities to get the word out.
Okay. And where did PACE come from? Because, like I said, I hadn't heard of it before, but I know you guys have been around for at least 20 years,
mm-hmm.
or more than that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It started in the 90s. It actually started out in San Francisco.
Okay.
With a program called OnLock. And basically, it's like a lot of us, we want our parents to age in place in their home and not place them in a nursing home.
Yeah.
So this was an Asian community who very much felt they believed in taking care of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got together and really did a concept like a nursing home without walls.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, the demographics of your family changes. Everybody's not living around.
Yes.
People are working more.
Yes.
Care wasn't always available as frequently as you need it. But if you join forces, you know, kind of like it takes a village, then you can make that happen. And so they did that. And then in the 90s, Congress decided to actually make a program and fund it, and then programs started developing. So it has been around for a while, and our National PACE Association is based out of Alexandria, Virginia.
Wow.
And there are about 130-some programs.
Wow.
In about 32 states.
That is amazing.
Right.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is
very
amazing.
Great program, yes.
Very great program. And I'm assuming, Christine, you are the marketing and assessment person. So are you the person that go out and speak to a lot of the seniors and their families?
Yes. Okay. It's kind of a tag team effort. I always joke that my job is to get other people to help me do my job.
Uh-huh.
Because the more I spread the word, then the more they spread the word.
Yes.
And actually, we have some participants. We have a couple of couples, a husband and wife couples, uh-huh. who also the one lady told me the other day that she was going to go for my job. So look for her resume soon, because they've been referring so many people. But yes, I do go out and talk, and I'll talk to any group, mm-hmm. any size, any age, because everybody knows somebody who could be eligible for PACE.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful to have you ladies here. Is there anything else you would like the audience to know about the PACE program?
Our telephone number is
919-425-3000,
mm-hmm. and they can call us anytime and feel free to ask any questions.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, once again, this is the PACE program, and if we didn't tell you what PACE stands for, it's Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, mm-hmm. PACE. Again, I would love to thank Tony Hively, the Executive Director of PACE, and Christine Bellino for being here today. We thank you ladies so much for being a part of this.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you.
It's now time to spotlight the Volunteer of the Month. And this month it is Doreen Yeltsin. How are you doing, Doreen?
I'm great, thanks.
It's great to finally meet you. I've emailed with you back and forth. I'm glad that I have a face
exactly.
to the name.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
I've got two grown sons. They're in their 20s. And I've lived here in Raleigh for almost my whole life, since
wow.
I was five.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Okay, so you are basically originally from Raleigh, for the
yeah,
most part.
Yeah, basically, and went to NC State here uh-huh. in town, and so, Raleigh's home for me, for sure.
Awesome, awesome. And tell me how you got started with Triangle Radio Reading Service.
It was the 10th anniversary mm-hmm. of 9/11,
okay.
and everybody was promoting service mm-hmm. for that 10th anniversary. And I was looking on a website for all kinds of ideas for volunteering,
mm-hmm.
and this one came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just signed up for the volunteer day where you learn about what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner, who reads with me every Friday night, was at that same session where we were learning about everything, and we've been working together ever since.
Wow.
So it's been great.
Okay. And so you are night shift, and I'm usually getting day shift people. So I dropped in at night to get some night shift people. So you usually do the night shift, and how often do you do it?
We do every second and fourth Friday of the month, so
okay.
twice a month for us.
Okay.
We read the USA Today.
All right. That's wonderful. And I know recently, of course, he's going to love it. Recently, you had a guest. His name was Spencer, and he came and sat in with you guys and read, and he had a good time. Do you guys like to have people come in? You know,
oh, absolutely. We love it because
yeah.
At first when you begin to volunteer here, you're very conscious of your audience because you're kind of nervous
yes.
about how many people might be out there and if you're going to mess up reading something or
mm-hmm.
mispronouncing names. But then after a while, you start to forget that part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's more, you're just more in the studio. And so it was great to have somebody who's out there,
yeah.
You know, here in person to talk with us. And
mm-hmm.
he was so appreciative.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, made you feel like you're doing something important.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are, we have a lot of people at home that listen, especially at night. So it's a good thing. And I've heard people through the morning shift say that they like the evening and they love your voice. So you guys don't get to hear that often, but I'm telling you now.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah, my partner, Steve, has the best voice for this job. You know, it's
really
full and so forth. So I guess we kind of make a good partnership, right, because I don't have anything close to that.
Well, you guys,
it's a variety.
Yeah, you guys bounce off of each other, so that makes a good mix. That makes a good mix.
I hope so.
Yes, and hopefully we'll get him in here real soon for his volunteer of the month.
Great. He sure deserves it.
Yes. Now, if you had to tell anybody about Triangle Radio Reading Service, what would you tell them?
The community that you meet when you volunteer here is wonderful. Everybody is such a great person. There are people that you meet here who sound like they should be on the radio as their full-time profession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. I didn't even think about, I thought I would just be reading, but I didn't think about I'd get to run the board in the studio. And that part, I haven't gotten tired of it even after 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it helps me keep up on my current events too, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm, reading the newspaper, and I don't do a lot of that. I tend to get my news from television, and
mm-hmm.
so I enjoy reading the USA Today, and I mm-hmm. certainly enjoy my partnership with Steve.
Absolutely.
And so I'd recommend it to anybody who wants to look for a volunteer opportunity.
And I know a lot of people think that we're not like a regular radio station, but we really are. We have the setup that way. You guys have to do auditions, right?
Yes.
So you run the boards, could really go to a regular station and get a job, Doreen.
And there was a focus, too, when I auditioned, mm-hmm. that you knew North Carolina cities and mm-hmm. how to pronounce them.
Yes.
Because you're speaking, you know, in bulk to people who are local here, mm-hmm. and they want to know, you know, how to say Wendell.
Yes.
And things like that, right?
Yes.
That you're part of their community.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was an interesting part of the audition.
It really is. And trust me, a lot of people will call if you mispronounce one of the words that they know you should know. If you're not from here, they're like, so-and-so mispronounced this word or that word. So it's
okay,
really cool.
It's good to know.
It's good to know, but you've never had that, so no worries.
No, I've run across some difficult names in the world news.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure I've messed up some of those, but anyway, we give it our best shot.
Exactly, we all have. Well, Doreen, I thank you so much for giving me a little time and being a part of Triangle Radio Reading Service, our best part, which is our volunteers. And thank you so much for being on Community Connections, and we appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much, Shay. It was good to meet you in person.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Well, we've run out of time for this edition of Community Connections. We hope you enjoyed it. And thank you, audience, once again for listening to Community Connections. Don't miss us next month as we establish more information to help you in the community. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy.
Located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Limp in
and leap out.
You've been listening to Community Connections. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill. See you next time on the radio.